What is prosperity? What does God mean when he uses the word prosper? 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. The Hebrew word for prosperity is the word shalom. Shalom can mean safety, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, and rest. And isn't that what all people on this earth are seeking after each day that goes by? From my personal experience, I can safely say there are little peace and little rest in a person's soul and body without financial prosperity, and I'm sure that you would agree with me. Lamentations 3:17. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. Another translation of Lamentations 3:17, peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. So how did all this lack of financial prosperity and being constantly provision-minded get started if God wants us to prosper and be in peace? All of this financial lack, deprivation from peace and financial prosperity started when the first man, Adam, by his own choice, rebelled against God. And once he rebelled, he stepped outside of God's total provision in the Garden of Eden and was left to a dismal future. Genesis 3:17-19. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. God is not cursing this first man, Adam, like religion has told us. No. The Lord was just telling Adam that he, by his own rebellion, opened up his life to the curse. He had been living in the blessing of the Lord in the garden. But rebellion opened up the door to the curse in his life. From that time until now, this curse was all mankind's destiny in life, that by painful toil and sweat, mankind would produce what they needed, all their provision. Mankind then and mankind now operate in survival mode. And every day, their major concern under this curse would be how to find provision. Maybe today, this is your concern as well. Maybe today, you are under financial pressure after suffering financial failure and financial lack. But I have some very good news to share with you today. First of all, God did not leave you and me in this mess the first man, Adam, got us into by his rebellion to fend for ourselves, provide for ourselves, as most religious people believe, teach, and preach. Even though the first man, Adam, rebelled and this curse came on all mankind because of his sin, God, in the same breath, told Adam of his plan to get him and all mankind out from this curse of toiling for a living and being provision-minded. Genesis 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We will get more into the seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head as we go along. To prove again that God wanted to bless mankind instead of curse mankind after Adam's rebellion that cursed mankind, God came to a man named Abram to restore his relationship with all mankind through covenant so he could once again bless mankind. Here's what God promised Abram. Genesis 12 Verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. With this blessing of God, mankind was not limited any longer to his own sweating and toiling for his provision. Now God, through covenant, by way of the blessing, was involved in the lives and the prosperity of mankind. Through the covenant, God was saying, "I will make you." I want that to stand out in your thinking right now, that God, through covenant, has said, "He will make, he will bless you." The scriptures I am about to share with you will be proof to you that God, through covenant, is now once again going to be mankind's provision, and there would be no toiling and sweating for provision that was under the curse that came through the first man, Adam. God, through the blessing, was restoring to mankind the garden provision for all needs and wants met. Here's promise of no toiling for provision, for the blessing of the Lord instead blesses, increases you without toiling. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. Here's another translation of Proverbs 10:22. It is the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich, and hard work adds nothing to it. Another translation says, when the Lord blesses you with riches, you have nothing to regret. And a footnote on the word regret is, or no matter how hard you work, your riches really come from the Lord. Another translation of Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. I'm going to continue to give you more scriptural proof we don't have to toil under that curse of the first man, Adam, but instead our riches really come from the Lord. We have been religiously brainwashed by religious devils with this curse of toiling for a living to keep us toiling for our provision so we don't receive covenant provision and we don't do our kingdom assignment that comes with provision. Satan steals a lot of Christians' assignments, their divine destiny, by this lie of toiling, working for a living. Here's proof that God is our provision. Deuteronomy 6. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. All of us born into this world were born into that land of slavery, but then God gives us a picture of his provision, a provision that is not tied to someone's personal ability to run fast, toil harder, and sweat longer. Here are scriptures that pictured this very truth of the Lord's provision without the toil. Deuteronomy 8:7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and you are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. And in the New Testament we find the same revelation of no toiling for a living. Luke 5:1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Peter had this toiling mindset that we have had, to always toil to get provision. And Jesus showed him that through obedience to his word, there would be provision from heaven. The blessing of the Lord was on Jesus, and when Peter obeyed the words of Jesus, that blessing was on him, and it is on us as well. Remember, the Lord told Abram, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you remember that? We will get into that a little later on. Here's another provision-minded story that turned into heaven's blessing of the provision that fed a multitude, and this happened more than once. John 6, verse 2. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the field, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. Here we see in this scripture that Philip was provision-minded, and he also had this mindset of toiling for a living. Notice he said there, 200 pennyworths of bread. He was talking about toiling for this bread, toiling for provision. But Jesus wasn't talking about toiling for a provision. He was talking about God's provision. And God, through Jesus, was able to provide for these people that day. In Luke 22, there is proof again of God's provision with God's assignment that takes away the mindset of being provision-minded. Luke 22:35. And he, that's Jesus, said unto them, his disciples, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. God provided for them when they took their kingdom assignment, and they lacked nothing. God's intent and desire is found in Deuteronomy 15, starting with verse 4. However, there shall be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. There it is again. He, that is God, will richly bless you. God will provide for you. We got to get this truth that God wants, desires to bless us, and so he can be God to us, and not this Babylonian world system, the devil's own system, that he uses to manipulate and control people's lives. Religion tells us we are still under that curse of toiling for a living, but these scriptures plainly told us God himself released us from toiling for a living by his covenant with us through the blessing. Now, you may still say that most of these were Old Testament scriptures that only apply to Abraham, but we find in Galatians 3 in the New Testament that we are the children of Abraham and we have his blessing, the same blessing God spoke over him and his descendants in Genesis 12. Galatians 3, 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Galatians 3:13. Christ purchased our freedom, redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree is crucified, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. And if you belong to Christ, are in him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to promise. We find the benefit of this covenant of blessing written in Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 3. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom.